all here. Boy, what happened to the music? It ended so quickly. I like it when it fades out a little. Anyway, it's May 4th, 2011. And you know, May 4th, that's the day those students got shot at Kent State back in 1970. Neil Young wrote a song about it called Ohio, but I'm not going to talk about that. Here's what I'm going to talk about. The Huffington Post has published a bunch of articles by religious people about the death of Osama bin Laden. And most of those people who wrote about it said, you know what they said? They said, we shouldn't be happy. Hey, but you've got to wonder, why not? Why shouldn't I? When I go to the movies, when you go to the movies, are you supposed to feel bad when the bad guy gets it at the end? No! And it's the same thing here. You know, one woman, one of these writers, I hope they didn't get paid, one of them wrote an article. She said, well, you know, we don't want to gloat because then we'll provoke Osama's followers into doing something crazy. Well, I don't want to provoke them. I know how crazy they are. But I want them to know something. I want them to know that they're beat. Right after 9/11, I read an article by a guy in Sweden, who said that on the day of the attack, everybody in his community was happy. He said they didn't come out and say it, but you could see it. You know, they smiled a lot, and there was like kind of an understanding between everybody. They all had a lighter step. Well, that's how I felt on Monday, and I want him to know that the tables have turned. There was one guy on the Huffington Post, the HuffPo, as we call it, and he said something worthwhile. He said, you know what? You can feel sensitive about your enemy when your enemy's the guy who steals your parking place. Yeah! In the meantime, I see that in Pakistan, they're mad at the Americans. And you know what? You know what that reminds me of? When the Israelis went into Argentina to capture Eichmann, one of the worst Nazis. You know, in Argentina, they started screaming about their sovereignty. They were hiding one of the worst criminals in existence ever. And the guys who went after him are the bad guys. You know, I've been screaming so loud, nobody's going to understand what I say because of the bad sound system on Blog Talk Radio. And anyway, it doesn't have anything to do with the show. And Jerry, what show is that?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Jerome Turning, are you here? Jerome. Jerome, you're here. Say, I'm Jerome reporting for duty. I want to know you're here.
Good morning, everyone.
Oy vey, you know, when I talked to the guy yesterday, he was in San Francisco. He sounded good. Now he's in Paris. That's what happens when you deal with a jet setter. And there's a delay. Jerome, we're going to have to work with you because there's a delay. I say something and you answer me 10 seconds later.
Is he on Skype?
I don't know.
Cell phone?
I don't know. And Jerome, can you hear me? Yes or no?
Uh-oh.
You have a backup ready.
Jerome!
Looks like you're on, Jerry.
I could do more singing.
Delay has nothing to do with the distance. It's my brain functioning slowly.
Oh, this is Jerome. Say, I'm Jerome. I don't know your voice, Jerome. If you just talk, I'm going to think it's somebody else.
Hi, everyone.
Don't wreck the show so early in the game, okay? Now, I got to ask you anyway, just to sit to the side for a second, you know, did you read about the Tiger Moms in the Wall Street Journal a few months ago? They're very crazy. They're always pushing their kids forward. And today, I have to humor the Tiger Mom of telephone sourcing by putting her adopted son on the show for no good reason at all. This guy, this hobo, this bum is walking across America trying to find himself. Johnny Appleseed, are you there?
Nate.
Nate, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah, okay, don't act like Jerome. When I say, are you there, say Nate, reporting for duty. I don't want to play games here, okay?
I'm like those American seals.
I go right to the point. Now, look, I hear you're staying for free at a place called the French Lick Resort. To me, that sounds Chicken Ranch in Nevada.
Nice.
What's going on there? Hey, don't talk over
like
me, okay? I talk
velvet.
Over you.
Yeah, I'm staying for free. It's a great place. I'm in French Lick, Indiana.
Jerry, do you know where that is?
Yes.
Where is it?
Southern Indiana, hilly country.
What do they have, a whorehouse there or something? French Lick? What's that about?
I don't know. I don't know anything about
Let's
the name.
Let's hear about that French Lick.
Okay, yeah, you know, we got a Frenchman. Our guest today is French.
Jerry doesn't know anything about it.
Okay, now I hear you got the PR manager there with you. Her name's Diane. Diane, are you there?
No, she's not here.
Okay, I want you to tell her something. This is what I'm going to teach you so you can teach the people on the road. She's got a fantastic name like French Lick. No one can ever forget it. So what does she choose for her Twitter name? Not French Lick Me. She uses French Lick, French Lick Resort. Because she can't get, I guess it was too long to get resort in there, so she leaves the T off the end. Resort doesn't mean anything. You tell her, resort. You can't go to a party and say French Lick Resort. Resort doesn't mean anything. No one's going to remember. You tell her.
French Lick Me would be better.
Hey, Animal, just
Maureen.
A little,
like this,
little bit of trivia on it. French Lick was originally a French trading post in Indiana built near a spring and salt lick.
Okay. Now we're going to move on. But, Nate, now that you're famous, your Twitter name is Where Is Nate. Is that right?
That's right.
Where are you?
Where is Nate? And before you go, and you're going, you've got to do an ad for Maureen. So you repeat after me, okay? You listening?
Vive la France.
I don't know if I want to do that.
Well, then get off the show!
Yeah,
you
got an uncooperative guy here. He's mooching his way across the country, and he doesn't want
to
even do a show.
Vive la France.
Come on.
What do
you want me to say?
Hey, okay, this is what you say. Hey, everybody, the internet is great. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody, the internet is great.
Oh, you got to get rid of this guy, Maureen. You won't even put any enthusiasm in his voice for you. I'll do it. Pretend I'm Nate.
Step it up, Nate.
Hey, everybody, the internet is great, but sometimes you can't find all the people you need on LinkedIn. You can't find all the people you need on Jigsaw. You can't find all the people you need with Boolean strings, and that's when you need the Tiger Mom of telephone sourcing. You can find her at namesourcer.com. Namesourcer.com. Goodbye, Nate. Get off my show.
Goodbye. See you later.
Now,
call
bye.
Next week, Nate.
Yeah, you
bye, honey.
Maureen, beat it. Okay, now I want to tell everybody how I met Jerome Turnick. Last week, I was talking on the show about HR Examiner had a list of the 25 most influential recruiters online. And I made that list. I was number 19. There was all kinds of people I didn't know ahead of me, and I believed that should not be there. And one of those people was Jerome. So I thought, man, this is bogus. And I sent out an invitation to all of those 25 people who've never been on the show, some of them. And I said, you want to be the guest? Come on. You're welcome. And this is the only guy who ponied up, who stepped up to the plate and said, I'm in. And then I looked him up, I read his LinkedIn profile, and I talked to him, and he's an amazing guy. He should be way ahead of me on some other list, not on that list. I deserve to be ahead of him on that list, but he's better than me. I'm going to say he is better than me at a lot of things, and you're going to find out about it today. Are you ready, Jerome? Jerome.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. You said that already, okay?
Oh, my.
Okay, Jerome, it's nighttime where you are, okay? It's lunchtime here. It's not morning anymore. Now, we're going to talk about...
Oh, I'm sorry. Good evening.
Okay,
it's actually dinner time where I am. So,
yeah, okay,
good evening,
bonsoir.
Everyone.
Yeah, right. Okay, we're going to talk about... I want to get to your history, but first I want to talk about your latest and most controversial project, okay? Zero unemployment. Zero unemployment. John Sumser said on Twitter today that it's just a self-promotional gag, okay? And so you explained it to me yesterday. I want everybody to understand what you're up to. Now, I'll just set it up. You told me that unemployment is not caused by a lack of jobs. It's caused by bad methods of recruiting. Is that right? Jerome?
I'm sensing a disconnect here.
Is he still on the line?
What's your plan B?
Zero unemployment, as per Mr. John Sumser, is an advertising play. That's what he said on Twitter. And he's right, actually. Zero unemployment is advertising. And it's advertising the fact that we collectively can solve unemployment. Or maybe not.
You know what? This guy was interesting yesterday. Believe it or not, I was really excited about having him on. Okay.
We started the zero unemployment movement to help everyone realize that that this is difficult.
Are you nervous?
Don't worry.
I'm hearing myself back.
Don't be nervous.
You know what? I'm speaking.
Call back in. I'll talk. Hang up and call back, and maybe we'll get a better line, okay?
Come on.
Bye. Okay, I'll tell
wow,
you what it's
about.
What was
that all about?
0% unemployment is a myth. Impossible. Structurally.
Is this
impossible.
Jim Durbin? Is this SM
yes,
Headhunter?
There's math
okay,
behind
go ahead.
It. It's impossible. 4% ruins it. 4% is considered too low because it gooses up wages in a bad way. There's a structural turn in the industry. The very idea that we get to zero unemployment is
okay,
unemployment. Unemployment is a global epidemic that needs to be eradicated. That's what we believe.
Okay.
When you think about it, why do we have unemployment? And do we have 3 million jobs open and 9% of people unemployed? Why is that happening? Have we allowed the labor market to build itself in its way? And so we think we can solve it. We think that unemployment is the price we pay for allowing an inefficient labor market build itself. We cannot have people who are unable to hire the talent they need, and on the other side, having talent that cannot find the job they need. And so we think that in the world in which we live, we can actually make a difference. We have an opportunity.
You know what, Jerome, let me interrupt you. I'm trying to be nice because you're at a disadvantage. You've got a lot of echo. Let me explain it. This is one time everyone's going to thank me for this, okay? I'll bring you back in a second. This is what Jerome told me yesterday when you could hear what he was saying. He said, in the past, and you just tell me if I'm right or wrong, Jerome, in the past it was easy to hire people because everything was local and you knew the people you were dealing with. But when cities got bigger and companies started hiring strangers, that dehumanized the recruiting process. And, you know, when you don't know who you're dealing with, you don't trust that person. You treat them like a thing. They become an applicant to be processed. There's no humanity because you don't trust them. Hiring becomes a big gamble because you don't know them. So your major concern is to avoid risk. You don't want to hire the wrong person. Now, however, in these revolutionary times with social networks, we can go back to hiring people we know before we give them an offer. And that's going to make companies less risk averse, and they're going to hire people quickly and easily. I don't know to what jobs, but this is what the guy told me. Jerome, is that correct?
Yeah, this is correct. This is correct. We have dehumanized the process, and we can go back. We can make hiring social again. I mean, 200 years ago, recruiting was social. People hired each other from within their own network, from within their physical networks. And now we have, yes, this is correct.
Okay, you know what? Let's just move
on.
Animal,
you
got to
let me talk about this.
No, I can barely hear you, Jim. You're always calling me on a bad cell phone. It's enough, my guest. I can't hear him.
What's wrong with Jim's sound? Jim, I give you an 8.5.
Jim sounds great.
Jim sounds fantastic.
I sound good, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, take 2 minutes.
You,
Jim
Animal.
Durbin, at SM Headhunter. Go ahead.
So the problem with assuming that 200 years ago or 50 years or 100 years ago that we were more social is completely ignoring what work was like back then. If you've ever read Emile Zola's Germinal, if you've ever looked at the textile factories in Lowell, Massachusetts, with the beginning of the corporations in the United States, at the railroad firms, they were hiring people that was basically indentured servitude. They would force children to work. They'd force families to work. It wasn't a pretty sight by any stretch of the imagination. You had to buy from the company stores. I mean, this was the whole point of Marx and the communists when they first started stepping up was...
I mean, the labor market is so ineffective that one can get a Nobel Prize for measuring friction on it. The 2010 Nobel Prize winner are a bunch of scientists who have actually measured friction on the labor market. And
but
so
that's
if you think about it, how have we allowed such a market to build itself? How have we allowed our society
to be
guided by an inefficient labor market?
If I'm a candidate and I have information about the labor market, ideally, if I shared it with everyone, and the more information we all have, the more efficient the actual market is, but the less advantage I have. If I know a job that I'm not quite qualified for, but I give it to somebody else, I'm out. But if they can't find the person that they really want, they might hire me to my benefit. So individually, when you add millions of people in any given system, it's to our benefit not to share information, even if it is to the market's benefit.
I mean, 3 million open jobs, 9% unemployment. That sucks. And that's something we can change. That's something we can do something about.
What is the size of the...
We can help hire people easier.
What's the size of the labor pool?
Recruiting is not rocket science. It's pretty simple. Cast a wide net, make the right choice, you're done.
Well, then you have to get it to work.
But let's say there's 150 million potential employees. Is that the size of our workforce? Does anybody know? Anybody?
Yeah, 150, 160.
Okay, so that's 15 million people unemployed. There are 3 million open jobs. Now, let me do some calculations here.
We keep looking at jobs like we look at Match.com. You know, the job market is not Match.com. The labor market is not only the jobs that are actively looking for a candidate.
Yeah, I'm getting lost. People who don't like the
show,
yeah, they're liking it today. Okay, I'm going to move on if there's nothing else to say. I mean, I don't understand what anyone's talking about anymore. Here's what he told me. He said, with social media, we're going to be able to move more quickly to hire people, and this is the role of recruiters. He said, recruiters, it seemed to me, because recruiting is going to become a social activity, and that means that recruiters are going to be people, I think, who hang around on social media, developing relationships to build a talent pipeline full of potential candidates.
No
way.
That's not happening. That's a pipe dream.
That's the role for future recruiters. Is that right, Jerome?
It's so easy to take a normal human being and turn him into an applicant. it's so easy to get someone say, you know, they're just a resume. I don't even need to bother to answer to them. That's something that needs to change.
Okay, do you want to elaborate on that? I'm not following. You're saying it's easy to get a big net of people just based on their resumes, and that's no good. What how's it going to change? I'm not following you.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a recruiter because I love people. And I think if we bring recruiting back to its root as a social activity, we'll be doing a better job.
Okay, but where's
all
that socializing going to take place? On Facebook?
What? Is there a time delay, or what's going on here?
There's some kind of delay. Okay, look, I'm going to go to an ad. Now, I want to talk about allcountyjobs.com. This is a company that owns a ton of local job boards. It's called allcountyjobs.com. They are a sponsor of the Animal Show. They provide local job listings, county by county by county by county. Yeah, you'll get back on in a sec. Chris Russell is the boss there. Guy comes on 15 minutes after I ask him a question, and he thinks he's going to interrupt my ad. Chris Russell, he owns allcountyjobs.com, and they own longislandjobs.net,
Long Island,
baltimorejobs.net, philadelphiajobs.net,
but he doesn't
Washington
have a villajobs.net.
That's
we covered that last week.
Maybe he owns abatabat.net jobs as well. I don't know.
What
but
about FrenchLickJobs.net?
He's got NewJerseyJobs.net.
That would fly.
Come on.
That Fairfield. Would fly. FrenchLickJobs.com.
Yeah. Fairfield County
right.
Jobs.
Where do you source candidates for that job?
A week. They get 100,000 hits a week, and that's 1 million page views a month. AllCountyJobs.com for your local job listing.
Right.
Much more reasonably priced. Thank you. Okay, you know what we're going to do?
That
Jerome,
is good stuff, though. I mean, those are some good stats. I like that. I like everybody.
We're going to move to, Jerome, we're going to move to your history, which is fascinating, okay?
Yay.
With a theory, I can't handle this stuff. I've lost my audience already. Now, look. Now, your background, you're French, and you graduated from university. What was your degree in? I don't know what. What was your degree in? Okay, you know what? I'll tell you. He got this degree, I think it was in business, then he went to the Army, and he was a paratrooper. Now, you tell me. I think a paratrooper is a special kind of person. Am I wrong?
Good.
Animal, have
wrong?
You ever switched guests midway? I think you need to today.
Yes.
Well,
agreed.
It doesn't work
right.
For Europe.
Yeah.
You know, we'll bring him back on when he's in San Francisco. Jerome, should we leave it? Jerome?
I think he left it.
Switch the guest to Jerry. We know he loves talking about himself.
Come on, Jerry, talk.
Animal, you're doing the whole show here. Thank you.
Bye, Jerome.
Jerome?
I tell you what, it's unfortunate that this isn't working because this guy's got a fantastic background. I mean, he's built giant.
No, let me. Okay, Jerry, I know it. I've prepared it. You can comment on what I'm going to say. You don't lead the conversation now. You'll lead it on the after show. Okay,
Jerry,
now,
get smacked down.
Yeah, here's what happened.
Oh, you think
okay?
That's funny? This is funny
hey,
now.
Hey, shut up!
Oh my God!
Shut
I'm
up!
I'm here to entertain you.
Look, the wheels
yeah.
come off this thing, and all of a sudden he's snapping at me like a beast.
Yeah,
nice.
Okay.
I
got you know what? This is not the after
funny
show.
Funny how? Funny like a clown?
Today we're only going to just rate the show overall.
Oh,
we're just going to have one score because there was no guest.
Yeah, I know that would
just
quiet it up because Jerry liked to hear himself
to
talk there,
number.
Right? So, Dave.
What happened?
There. Okay.
Hey, Man. Animal, what
all
happened?
Right.
Which is
five. Is Jerome gone?
I don't know.
Thank you so much for managing the signal.
I don't know why.
Wow.
Okay.
What happened there?
Okay, so if you guys can be quiet for a second, you know, the
okay.
show's over already pretty
we
well,
will.
But I'll tell
we
you
will.
About I'll tell you about this guy. He got out of university. I don't even, stupid, we've been talking about nothing for the last 10 minutes because you guys have been interrupting me. Now, he got out of school. He became a paratrooper, And then he sent around, he had no skills. He sent out 80 resumes. From 80 resumes, he got one interview, and he got that job. He got that job, but he left after 60 days because he thought the other employees were just looking for a place to hang around until they could retire. They're French, right? So he decided.
That's what French do.
Yeah, he decided that he was going to go to a country where things were on the move. It was 2 years after the Berlin Wall came down, so he went to Prague in Czechoslovakia with his small savings, and in Prague, in a bar run by a Danish guy, there must have been lots of foreigners there at the time trying to exploit the new situation, he started talking to the newly appointed regional director of L'Oreal, the makeup company, and the guy told him that he's having a really hard time hiring people. So this guy, Jerome, said, I'm going to do it for you. And the thing is, he didn't know anything about recruiting. I don't know how he did it. He knew how to speak English. He said the only language you needed was English. And, of course, he spoke French.
Well, the good thing is about Czech Republic at the time is that I had no idea how to recruit anyone, but equally candidates and clients either. So that was my opportunity right there.
Yeah, you had no idea. So what did you start with? What kind of candidates? What kind of jobs? Oh, there he's gone all again. Okay, so anyway, he rented an office. He'll come back when he can. He rented an office, and he slept on the couch. This is how he started his business, and it's just amazing. From those humble beginnings, he started this company, the Accord Group. It grew into, his LinkedIn profile says, one of the largest recruitment services companies, largest recruiting firms in Central and Eastern Europe. He had 200 people working for him in six countries, Czech Republic, Slovak Republic, Russia, Hungary, Poland, and Romania. They were covering all major areas of recruiting, including executive search, staffing, recruitment advertising, job fairs, and outsourcing. He says he was the first to launch job fairs in Eastern Europe. He was the first to bring recruiting advertising to Eastern Europe. He was the first to bring RPO outsourcing to Eastern Europe. He had big clients, Microsoft, Cisco, big banks, McDonald's, supermarkets. And he told me, I'm almost done, that at the age of 25, he was interviewing in Russia, in Moscow, the former Minister of Finance for a job running a bank. He told me that job was worth $12 million a year. He's 25 years old. He doesn't know anything. And that, I don't know how he did it. Are you there listening? You want to cut in, Jerome, and help me a little?
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good story.
Yeah.
You want to add to it? How is it possible for a know-nothing from France to become so successful in another country?
He was obviously the first to bring good phones to Eastern Europe, too.
Also, you know what? Everybody who's been on the show so far says you have to be a niche player.
One thing I learned in Eastern Europe at the time is you should really hire for attitude and not aptitude. And that was a good point. If clients would come with long requisitions like we do today with lots of requirements, you would never get the right candidates because they basically were nobody that had those sort of experience. So take, Coca-Cola come to you and say, I want a marketing manager with 10 years of experience in marketing, and the country was communist until 18 months ago, then there is no such thing. So you end up hiring people for attitude rather than aptitude. And I guess that really stayed with me throughout whatever I've done in recruiting, whatever I do today as a manager, as a human being, as an entrepreneur. I always try to look for attitude rather than aptitude. That's maybe the one takeaway from my times in Central and Eastern Europe.
What does that mean, though? That you hire somebody without any skills? Okay, he's gone again. You know, he should just stop talking.
Did you just record it and, record
yeah.
what you said yesterday
Mike,
and just inserting
it? Do you have an opinion about what he said? He said something. Let's comment on what he just said. Does anybody have a comment?
I think for entry-level positions, that's a good theory, but not hire someone that doesn't have an education.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
And when you have an overwhelming ratio of candidates to each position, companies aren't just looking for aptitude. They also have the luxury of getting this skill set that they're looking for. I mean, it's just what's going on. And if you think
well,
you're going to solve unemployment by just getting good people,
it'd be positive and it can be negative as well. And when you end up hiring people who've done the job before, like most headhunters are asked to do by their clients, you end up putting someone in a job that he or she's going to find boring. Hire someone that is underskilled for the job and grow them into the job and get someone who's really heavy into it.
Now, how would you sell your client? I'm happy to sell my client on that, but I don't know how. How can I sell them on that, Jerome? What should I say if I call somebody up and they want somebody, let's say, with 5 to 10 years marketing experience in a certain area? I find a guy with 2 years experience, an MBA, he seems to be bright, and he's got a nice attitude. How do I get them to go with the more junior candidate go running with the idea that it's going to be better for them to have someone who's enthusiastic? How do I do that? What do I say? Okay, he's gone again.
No, just give that time delay a little
yeah, about 5 minutes delay. Anyway, yeah, so I'll just move
on
and he'll cut
on.
Back in.
What kind of positions is he talking about?
Well, I just gave
him an
example.
What we've
done in the past is about automating the recruiting process is simply a bad idea. And we've really taken this out into replicating resumes and replicating experiences. I believe in people. You know, maybe I'm just an optimist or a French, but I believe in people and I believe in their abilities.
What?
Yeah, okay, thanks. Just keep talking. As we take our
route to recruiting forward, we can make recruiting more social. We can make it better. We can give a better experience to our candidates. I see, you know, people, recruiters, hiring managers who don't answer to their candidates. I see people who are trying to really replicate skills. I see, you know, normal people who apply become applicants. I don't think that works. You know, even here in my country, in France, we've passed a law that allows to anonymize resume. We're going one step further by the law to have resumes that are anonymized so that we don't discriminate. Or, you know, this whole process sucks. And I think in this context, recruiters are the heroes of a battle against unemployment and a battle in a labor market that's really not effective. And I think we can change that. I think we really can change it. We can make recruiting easier. We can make it faster. You know, we live in a connected world. And in this world, in my world, hiring should be fair. It should be fast. It should be easy. And it certainly should be more social.
And how
you
are you doing that? Can I ask him how he's doing
ahead.
That?
Go ahead.
How are you doing that, Jerome?
We lose him. Whenever we say a word, we lose him. That's why I wouldn't interrupt him, because he's just talking hot air right now. I don't like what he's saying. We have to pin him down, but every time I interrupt, he's gone for 5 minutes. What kind of show is this? It stinks. No,
this
more
is the kind
fun.
Of show. This is the kind of show that really sets up a fantastic after show.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
way to plug
no
yourself.
Yes. You know what?
The
we
one thing I agree
one.
With that he said though is he called us heroes, and I always knew Jerry was a hero.
He called us heroes. It didn't sound like it. He said what we do sucks.
He said recruiters
he said
are
sucks.
Heroes. That's what he said. Did I hear him wrong?
How come
okay.
I didn't get theme music when I was a guest? That's all I want to know.
I don't know. I had a real hot picture of you up at the show today, but it's not coming up.
So where technology has helped dehumanize the process, I think we can make technology come back. And I think we can get, with the help of technology and social network, we can make recruiting social again. We can make it back. At the end of the day, recruiting is not rocket science. I mean, the art and science of recruiting is pretty straightforward. Cast a wide net and the right choice. So if you think of the next generation of recruiting software and of social networks being open, being easy, being social, in our case being free, you have the ingredients to actually bring to the hiring managers, bring to businesses a leverage of technology that helps them make the right hire, make the right choice faster, in a more effective way, I would argue in a more fair way.
Yeah,
and
yeah, nobody knows what you're talking about.
I don't mind
interrupting you now because nobody knows what you're talking about. This guy owns smartrecruiters.com. So, listen, I'm just going to run through his resume. I don't want any more hot air speeches anymore. I'm happy to cut the show. It's 12:30 already. You guys can go to the thing. But I'll just tell you. So he sold that company.
The Smart
Recruiters
is a free recruiting software that helps make hiring easy. We basically give businesses an easy access to talent and to the talent they need. We've packaged effectively the next generation of recruiting software, totally free, no catch, no limit, no crap, just entirely free. And Smart Recruiters is really the next generation of technology. It's a free technology that is very easy.
Oh, my God.
Sign up. That's directly connected to the best add-on, job boards, background check companies, and so on. That brings collaboration into the selection process rather than automation into a recruiting crap. And that makes or turns every user into a smart recruiter. All right. I agree. That was pathetic.
Okay. Okay, yeah, you know what? Next time, if you ever come back on, you got to call from a good phone, or not from another continent. That's the problem. Anyway, you started this company then, after you left your old company, you started Mr. Ted Software, right?
I did, yeah.
Who's doing that?
That's ridiculous.
That? Isn't it bad enough?
Mr. Ted,
you know
Mr.
What?
S,
you know
what? Horse.
You want to talk, you raised $30 million. This guy's something, okay? He raised $30 million. He went to, Central Europe with nothing. He made himself tons of money. I don't know how much. I can only imagine a lot. Yeah.
Millions.
And then he raised $30
million. I started my first business with $2,000, which was not enough. And I started Mr. Ted with probably $30 million, which was a lot too much. And that was a car crash, I guess, at least in 2000 period, internet bubble. And the good thing is we really did innovate recruiting technology.
Yeah, Mr. Ted is a great software.
And we grew a nice business, and we ended up doing a trade sale that was nice. And so all our investors ended up happy. The bad thing is, if we talk about crappy ATS that have dehumanized the recruiting process, I plead guilty. Because for the last 10 years, I've really contributed to make recruiting fully automated as it gets, with on-site people, off-site people, offshore centers, and just getting recruiting into a process, which it is not. Recruiting is not a process; it's a social encounter between an organization, a team, and an individual. And if you try to make it a process, you just end up making bad hires.
Jerome, were you part of the sale of Mr. Ted to Stepstone?
I was, yes, the part of the sale. So I did the trade sale to Stepstone Solutions. Yes, I was the CEO, then founder, and majority shareholder.
So you got a good deal out of that.
Did you have a big
party? Worked out well
party?
For you. Yeah, a big party.
Did he have a big what, Jerry?
Party.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
he owns one of those.
Claim.
He owns one of those Central European countries now. Okay, you know what? I'm going to suggest that we sing a song and end the show. Is that? And go right to the after show. So do you want this guy to? Yeah. Okay. So Jerome, do you know the song "Louise" by Maurice Chevalier?
I don't. But I'm listening.
No, you're going to sing with us. Okay. Okay. Are you ready? Here we go. And then we're going to go to the after show. Okay, here we go. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Every little
breeze seems... They stopped.
Little breeze seems to whisper Louise.
Birds in the
trees
seem to tweet
to
Louise.
Is it a rose that me knows I love you.
Love you. Every little
that I feel
that
in my
heart
seems to
repeat what I felt at the start.
Each little sigh.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. How was your trip?
Oh, my God. It was fantastic.
Okay. We're going to the after show. Are you ready?
Already? Wow.
Show with 20 minutes left.
And with good reason.
Is that the shortest show ever?
Yes.
No. He's done shorter shows.
Oh.
That was a.
What the heck am I going to do with the rest of my hour?
Yeah, Jerry, you got an hour now.
Who keeps adding theme music? What the hell?
Sorry about
Jerry.
That. That put this thing on hold. My phone line rang. It's called business, people. Don't freak out. It happens.
Are you playing music in the background there? Was that a guitar I heard?
Well, let me see. I've got hold music.
Guitar.
I'm a full-blown... that was Bad Moon Rising by CCR.
Oh.
Off Billboard's Hot 100 singles, 1969 is what that was. Sorry to confuse anybody. Sorry about that. Now, my phone's been ringing off the hook. And so that's what I was doing. Okay. What a wacky show. My
goodness.
That was
crazy. Technical problems all the way around.
You know, is it too much to expect millionaires to be able to pick up a landline? What is it, 23 cents a minute?
As soon as he said Mr. Ted, I was like, this guy's got money. There's money.
Maybe he's so far removed from civilization, which I would be. Maybe the best he could get was Skype.
Well, I'm guessing that when he talks, people just, like, sit there and wait for him to say something, you know? You just sit there.
I think there was a lag.
There wasn't that much of a lag because he answered right away when I asked him about Mr. Ted and Stepstone.
Oh.
At all. There was no lag when I asked him about the sale. So
he was lagging.
There should be no lag at all in phone.
Would
service.
It have been just pretty easy to conquer the European staffing market 20 years ago? I mean, that's the sense I'm getting.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds great. So, I mean, the guy deserves respect.
If anybody
I mean,
can conquer unemployment, maybe Mr. Ted founder Jerome can do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Who knows?
It's interesting, though, that I mean, he's kind of, he created part of this whole ATS nightmare that now he's claiming has ruined recruiting.
Well, he feels guilty now. He's got to go back and clean up his mess, right?
Kind of like
who
digging a hole in your neighbor's lawn and charging.
Can I ask if anybody's used Smart Recruiters and if they, I mean, it's free. I mean, is it crap?
I've never heard any reviews either way about it. Recruiting blogs had some kind of campaign for them a while ago, and I don't know if anyone.
Yeah, about a year ago.
I don't really see any real reason for an ATS system as an agency recruiter. Is that controversial enough?
You write everything down, Jerry?
No. I write a lot of stuff down.
He doesn't write anything down.
It's all memory, right?
Yeah, it's all memory. And he just fills them and leaves, you know? He kisses them and leaves.
I mean, any email I've ever received, I keep it. And search through email. I mean, I really don't see any reason to add a note of, you know, talk to this person, they're happy there, call back in 6 months. You know, I have a knack of remembering every discussion I've had with people.
Jerry, I have to write it down. Whoever said that, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah,
hey, Jerry.
Travis?
Yes, sir.
Dude, hey, where you been?
Oh, I've been tuning in for the last few weeks. I've just been keeping quiet. But this guy's either, you know, very brilliant, that nerdy kind of pocket-protecting brilliant, or he was simply in the right place at the right time. And I'm thinking it's the latter. But that Smart Recruiters, I've actually got an account through there, and I have used it. But what I've found is that it's extremely buggy.
Yeah.
But they seem to be making real efforts and strides to correct what's wrong. So
I would
Travis
like to know.
I suddenly have an urge for Quaker Oats for lunch.
maple sugar, a little maple on there. What's this whole zero unemployment thing that he's doing with Jessica Miller Merrill?
It's just an initiative to try and raise awareness about unemployment, and
I think we're all pretty well aware of it.
Yeah, we're all aware. I mean,
like I've heard of it.
Look, it's an initiative like what Margo, the Hire Friday, and it's basically just to continue to raise awareness that the problem still continues. It's not going away yet. You know, a lot of people
turn
a little turn in the economy and thought, ooh, everything's good again.
Can I just throw out the idea that I think that it's really cool that they're trying to bring attention to unemployment and, you know, help solve the problem. But when you spew lines of bullshit tied to the concept of zero unemployment, it really doesn't do anyone any favors.
Okay. Duly noted as being said by you. Gotcha. I believe it's a valid point. I mean, yeah, unemployment, okay.
Why did John Sumter write that on Twitter? Why was he criticizing him?
Maybe he just sees it for what he thinks it is, just a way
John
to tie
John just
pulled
his words back, so he saw that it was a potential ploy for advertising one's own company as opposed to actually going out and helping.
A lot of John's stuff is to, like, see what the reaction
is. Insight. Yeah, he's a pot stirrer, too, so.
Which
like
is cool.
Jerry Albright, who is very good at stirring pots.
That's not my thing. My thing is placing people.
Yeah, I know.
My thing is helping my clients get projects done.
Listening to this interview, do you think that Sumter was wrong? I mean, basically, every question was, you know, about zero unemployment came back to how people have to get more social and how this is the product to help them do it.
You're right.
Go ahead, Rayanne.
No, I think this is Dave, right?
It is.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, most things that we do are to advertise our company or our product, right? I mean, in social media, it's all a roundabout way of doing it. So I would agree with that. But I think the initiative is good, right? I think that the bottom line would be good if it would actually not be their black line, right? If it wasn't just about their black line.
It's probably coming through that I'm a little bit annoyed about this whole thing. And the reason is that I guess it's very easy for anyone to say unemployment is bad, we need to do something about unemployment, but then and then surround it with a whole bunch of other nonsense. I mean, like, who's going to disagree with that? But in the end, you just spent 40 minutes of showtime and said absolutely nothing of value that everybody doesn't already know. And I guess it just pisses me off.
Especially the group here that's talking, right? I mean, and we all had questions. And
like, it's just like, you know, it's like, there's who's going to disagree with that? It's like politics.
Right.
Like, we got to bring that unemployment rate down.
We have to agree that killing babies is wrong, right?
Do it for the children.
Oh, for the children.
Right.
Fire for the children.
Well, let's get some show scores then real quick before.
Let's do scores for the children.
Okay, who do we have? Rayanne, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
1 to 100 now, and I'm considering modifying this back again to 1 to 10, but we're still.
Yeah, that's the 1 to 100. Okay, I'm going to give the guest 12, just because he couldn't respond.
Now you're talking.
Coerce.
12.
Yeah, and I'm going to give animals is going to get like 45 because he just got too frustrated and was talking over. Couch sitters who were trying to just get some information out. And
let it be noted
here. It
seemed
like he was over-prepared. You know, he got impatient with answers and just started reading from his notes. And instead of really, like, trying to get through and make
engage.
Everything. Was try. Yeah, it was just really, it was a horrible show today. Horrible. Well, I think he was having a hard time because he couldn't engage with the guy because it was taking 5 to 10 seconds to respond. So,
yeah. So
let it be said that he, Animal, did not finish his show.
No,
he did not even complete the show.
True. Yeah.
So if you want,
yeah,
to
Maureen said the guy couldn't
story.
Be engaged. Well, more, I, he should have engaged with us then.
Didn't you feel like you? I'm gonna.
Oh, this is
it.
Maureen.
Oh,
why don't you jump in with some scores,
yeah,
Nate?
That was
Nate
that was
fan.
Me. That wasn't Maureen. That was Lori. I just don't.
Oh, sounds like Maureen.
No, that was Maureen.
That was Maureen.
Yeah,
yeah,
I felt
Maureen.
Like I felt like I was having a con run past me.
Flim
yeah,
flammy, little shammy.
Yeah, that's just how I felt. But you know, I'm looking at this Mr. Ted thing, and I don't know. I'd have to do some research. But whoever said
Charlotte
the guy was probably at the right place at the right time got hit in the ass. Yeah, that's probably true.
I wish that happened to me.
Yeah, really.
I'd love to be
well,
the dumbass in the right place at the right time.
He got out at the right time.
But
too.
Unfortunately, you're in Indiana.
Yeah.
See, this is the wrong place.
Don't knock the rust belt. Who said that?
Hey,
Dave Manister?
Hey.
Here's my new thing. My new thing is now recruiting on the different coasts so I can take advantage of the cost of living, yet I'm
in
staying
LA?
Right here.
Yes.
In
yeah.
San Jose, take advantage
and New York.
Of living there.
I've got a huge thing going on in San Jose, and it's really exciting.
It's
changing
awesome.
The way, it's, we're going to change
the
way that people
coast,
interact
Jerry?
With their TV. Excuse me?
Are you going to come out to the West Coast?
Yeah, as soon as I get a couple people working there. Yep.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, real cool. So, Maureen, can we make a note of your scores, please?
I'm going to give the guest a 10.
Wow.
What about Nate?
Nate? Are we going to judge Nate?
I'm joking.
We already have. He needs to keep on moving.
He's
hobo.
Already been judged and tried. It's
yeah.
over.
That's played out, Maureen.
Really?
You've got your mileage out of it.
Well, Nate, if
let
you're listening.
Let him go, Maureen. Just let him go.
Nate, if you're listening, don't listen to the naysayers.
Is that Animal?
I
yeah.
know. That. Animal.
Okay, so your
Animal,
score then for Animal, please.
I'm going to give him a 75.
What? Now, what did he do to deserve a 75?
You throw the high and the low scores out anyway, don't you, Jer?
Maureen?
No, I don't.
Come on, Maureen. Really?
What? Okay, what did he do to deserve a 75? He's been running this show for how many years? He shows
no,
up
no,
every
no, no, no.
single
we're
week.
This isn't
no.
a lifetime achievement
show
here.
Give him a 75
show.
For effort.
Yeah,
effort?
Show.
He bailed out 36
bailed
minutes
out
in.
Well, he can't run
his
own
prerogative.
Show.
He can do that. He can cut the show short if he wants.
Oh,
no,
God.
No, because that put me in a position of not being ready to start, so that put me off my game. I've recovered nicely, but he doesn't realize the predicament he put me in.
How
hey,
can you be the guest
want?
And
serious,
the host?
This is serious radio business, Maureen. Something you
yeah,
know.
Okay, I'm sticking with my – that's my story, and I'm sticking
oh,
to it.
Oh, my gosh.
You're not
going
to get a raise,
to,
Maureen.
Hey,
hey Maureen, you're not getting a raise.
But, Maureen, you are free to give any score that you want.
Okay.
It's been duly noted. Ass-ringer, what is your score up in here?
Ass-ringer.
Good A-stringer.
I agree with Maureen, and I'm going to give Animal a 75. Cause
all right.
I felt bad for the guy today. And, you know, he did his best to keep it on track. So I'm giving him a 75.
Ooh.
Can I give a negative score to the guest?
Ooh.
Damn. No, it has to be from 0 to 100. I'd prefer from 1 to 100, but I'll give you some flexibility.
I'm going to give him 0 for being unprepared with a bad phone. And I still, to this minute, have no idea what the hell he was talking about.
Can a millionaire make an international phone call? I mean,
I think so.
I aspire
you, I
to join his ranks, but not if I can't talk
royal.
To anybody on the phone.
He thinks he's royalty, and you just have to wait for him to speak, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand the whole
You think that was it, Ryan?
Oh, absolutely. He was
really?
He was formulating thoughts. He was trying to figure out how can I answer this. And
he was kind
wait.
Of aloof.
So he wasn't
they'll
ready
wait.
For the show.
Oh. I think he just – I don't think he was ready for the – no one ever is ready, right, the first time.
Well.
No one's ever ready, and this guy is used to having people listen to what he says.
Oh, that makes
right?
sense, Ryan.
He's not used to challenge, and he was challenged on every statement.
That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I heard a lot of cliches strung together. I love people.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right, I
love
people.
We don't all love everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody
okay, moving on, let's grab another score. Dave Manister.
Five.
And I've
got to
say, Dave, I like your timeliness on your morning newsletter. Is that automated?
It is automated.
I like that. Sometimes it's like at 8:05, 8:07. What's that all about, though? I mean, I thought it was like at 8 o'clock.
Well, we just try and get out early so people, when they get to their desks in the morning, have something to read about recruiting.
Mm-hmm. And I do, while I'm deleting all the other junk that collected overnight. It's good stuff.
So my score is, Jerry, 5 for the guest, 75 for the animal.
All right.
Lowest scoring millionaire ever on the show.
And I'll just say that my animal score was a 25 during the actual interview, and it went up to a 75 because he cut it off.
I like. Okay. A little respect
and, I mean,
for knowing when it's time to pull out, huh?
He could struggle through for another 20 minutes and waste everyone's time, but I think he realized it was going nowhere, so he did the right thing.
Pulled the ripcord on it.
There you go.
Excellent answer.
Know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who else do we have? Lori D?
Hey. Hi, Jerry.
Hey.
I think, honestly, I agree with Rhiann now that I think about it. I think it was that he wasn't used to a challenge, and he was just, because if he came back on some things and flagged on others, he was kind of like shocked probably. So I give him a 10. But I think Animal held his own. He tried to bring it back 3 or 4 times, and I agree with Maureen and Mike, 75.
There you go.
Okay.
Wow, that's interesting.
So I'm
and
sorry.
Dave,
what did you give? What did you give the guest then again?
I forgot. I think a 10 for calling in, at least.
Yeah.
So just for showing up, you get to 10, but didn't plus that in any way.
No.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we ought to break the score up into. He shows up, he gets 10.
Yeah, however you want to come up with your own score is fine.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. A Stringer gives him a 0, and that's accepted. I mean, it's in there. It's in the books. Who else has got a score for us? Anybody? Somebody? Anybody?
Kathy's here.
C-1.
C-1. I agree that I give Animal, 200 for cutting it off. That was my exact thought.
Shut her down.
200. We're going over and under.
Aunt Rhiann was right. He did slip up, and he replied directly to her, and there was no time lag.
Yeah.
You think the whole time thing was a fake?
Yeah.
He was sorting out thoughts. He was figuring out, how can I work this to my benefit? How can I make it appear that... No, but he was very excited to talk about, ooh, I sold at the right time. I got in at the right time, and I sold at the right time.
Exactly.
But software is changing rapidly right now. Mr. Ted was stalling out. He sold at the exact right time.
Right. And Rhiann, thanks for doing that, because you showed him.
Yeah.
But anyway, and so I give the guest a 5.
So I mean, are we labeling this guy as kind of a
asshole,
slippery, flim-flammy kind of guy, or just
it
unprepared? I want to know, was he unprepared, or was he full of BS?
He was slimy.
He was unprepared for what he was going to face.
I think he was shocked at the way people were talking to him, and he was unprepared and couldn't come back quick enough, and like whoever said was trying to, muster up thoughts that would sound great, and then he would just blurt them out when Animal was talking.
So maybe he's just used to his little crowd of people who are all high-fiving him on zero unemployment and all that stuff.
High-five.
save the seals and all that.
Maybe.
Okay. So what's your score then for Animal, Kathy?
Oh, 200 for cutting it short.
Okay, we're going to... I have to disregard any points over 100.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So I hope you don't mind.
Okay, I'm going to give him 75 for cutting it short.
75? Now,
you can give him 100.
I'm not going to debate this with you, but
100. That was a good call to cut it off. I'll give him 100.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I got an eraser up in here.
How about you, Jerry? What's your score?
The guest gets a 7, and Animal gets a 50. He should have known that show was going to flop. I mean, with all this show prep work that he's doing, pre-interviews, interrogations, waterboarding, I don't know. That's what led to Bin Laden's capture, but that's a whole different thing.
Waterboarding. Oh. He's always talking about, you know, how good the guy was the day before, but then he freezes when he gets on the show. I think a lot of people do that. I don't think that's uncommon. People are freaked out by their own voices on a radio show.
You know, I highly recommend... he's a millionaire. This guy is not freaked out by anything that he does.
Maybe, but
Maureen,
we were talking about something else, about Animal not being prepared.
One thing I think is interesting is that Animal emailed all the recruiters that were on the list, and he was the only one that spoke up. That was really interesting to be on the show, that nobody said, I'll do it. I don't know. I thought that was, at least he called in.
Maybe they're too busy influencing John Sumter.
Oh, promote himself. That was
absolutely.
The guy's smart. Look, he knows when to pop in and...
Well, right. That shocked me that nobody else spoke up or said, hey, I'll be in. Just one person on the 25.
What's the animal screaming in the background? Did you hear that?
Is that him?
You know, Animal finally made it on the list, okay? And that list is worthless, and I think this proves it here.
Some
of
our lists are worthless?
What
are you talking about?
We can't live with him anymore.
I think those lists are absolutely only put out just to get some traffic to Sumter's site. I think they're stupid, ridiculous.
Well, there was a survey, or there was a survey or some type of article a couple years ago that was about how to get people to go to your blog. Put a number in the title, right? Mm. The 10 greatest ways to do this. The 25 top influencers in the HR industry. It drives traffic.
Any list of the top 25 of anything that includes people who are not whatever the list is should be disregarded.
And I don't know how often that list comes out, but I've been calling into this show for less than a year, and it seems to me that we've had this whole debate already.
Yeah, I think this is like every two months or something.
No, it's an ongoing. Yeah, the parameters change.
It's a work in progress.
Parameters of what makes somebody an influencer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it comes out.
Though I would like to make sure that John Sumser knows, though I doubt he's got time to listen to this show. he's a nice guy. He's a good guy. I just think the lists are lame.
You're getting some kudos on Twitter, Jerry. Recruit for You says nice recovery.
That's sweet, Steven.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else with scores? Anybody have anything they want to talk about?
Save the children.
I had a great vacation. It was wonderful.
Hey, tell us about it. Tell us about it briefly.
It was fantastic. I went down to the Cook Islands, south of the equator.
Whoa.
And has anybody on the show ever flown over the equator?
No.
Ooh, it's crazy. Crazy turbulence. Yeah,
was it like real
hot?
Crazy
about it. I flew over and I don't
know. No,
the winds
are different on each side. They turn differently.
Wow.
So it's it's very turbulent for about a half hour in the flight.
Oh.
And it was amazing.
How big a plane were you in?
The first plane was a big one. It was, what is it, 7 seats across, I don't know, 400 passengers,
wow.
300, 400 passengers.
Wow.
But the second plane, 12 passengers.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Gosh, did you spell
that?
Was
fun. How long did
that take? I wrote a little bit about it today, but during the flight, you know, I was just staring out the window and feeling very much like Amelia Earhart flying over this endless ocean. And I could hear some people, like, behind me rustling and making noise and smiling and laughing, and they pointed me to the front. And I looked up to the front, and you can see both pilots there. And they had put a sunshade up over the main windshield, and they were reading the newspaper. And
nice.
I'm like,
they knew where they were going.
I know, but
But there's 10, you know, 10 passengers tops on this plane.
Oh,
and the two
goodness.
Pilots. And I'm looking around thinking, somebody should be paying attention.
I loved your pictures, Rayanne. It just looked like you were just in total bliss and relaxed.
It was the best vacation I've ever been on. I thought it would take me a long time to relax. Within 2 hours, I was completely relaxed. The only thing I did was check into Facebook every once in a while. The only thing I did. We didn't answer phones.
Were you at an all-inclusive place? Or did you hut? Or what?
A little hut on the small island. We were in a little hut, and the big island we stayed in a little two-bedroom house that was right on the beach.
It was so pretty.
We didn't do the resort thing. It was very primitive.
Is it something that the animal show guest, that guy, could easily afford?
Easily.
Easily?
Yeah. It was less than going to Hawaii. It cost less than going to Hawaii.
So where was the main airport that you landed in? I mean, what was your main flight to?
I took LAX to Rarotonga, which is the largest of the, and if you want to say the capital of the Cook Islands. And they have an international airport there. It's small, but it's a lot of people come in from New Zealand because it's only a three-hour flight. So most of the visitors on the island are from New Zealand.
Wow.
We didn't see one other American there. And there were not a lot of tourists. It's not a they had a hurricane a year and a half ago, and there were many houses that were still damaged. I mean, they don't actually repair the houses. They just build new ones. So you just see skeletons of houses that the jungle has started to take over when you drive around. It was an amazing experience. I've never been anywhere like it, and I'm taking my kids back next year. We've already booked the plane and the house.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Goodness.
It was worth
taking every...
The
kids. Yeah.
The sunset picture on your Facebook page is beautiful.
I'm taking my kids to Michigan.
Oh,
I've already done that, Jerry.
Big Biller, Jerry.
Yeah.
No, all your pictures, Rayanne, really were.
In a vehicle I own,
really
though,
worked.
By the way.
Thank you. It was a beautiful trip. I still
you could tell.
Things.
You could tell.
Well,
yeah.
the Big Island, so that we call it the Big Island, but if you took a scooter ride around, 30 minutes on a scooter would get you around the whole island.
Wow.
You would do the whole circumference of the island in 30
minutes.
Like
Bali.
What was the food like? Good. Fresh. They grow everything on the island, so you're having taro leaves, which are kind of like a spinach or chard type dish, and you're also having taro root, which is like a potato, mm-hmm. And they also had regular potatoes and pineapple and bananas, and the best bananas I've ever had in my life, seriously.
What about
bananas
fish? What kind of fish did they serve there? Grouper? I mean, what are they catching? The dolphin?
No. They're catching tuna, yellowtail, and mahi-mahi, and parrotfish. Which I wouldn't eat.
Wow.
That's a very tropical fish, and they eat the reef.
Ew.
And if you're not a native to the area, it could make you sick. That's what they tell you in Hawaii, not to eat the reef fish or the tropical fish.
Oh.
If you're not a native to the island. So
what are you going to London for?
Work.
Oh, okay.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hey, if anybody in the San Francisco area knows user experience architects or visual interaction designers.
I do, if you want to send me over the job description,
just throwing
Jerry.
That out there.
Jerry, it's Kathy.
C-1.
Send me the job description because I have some major contacts up there.
Major?
Major.
Sounds like this is practically a done deal. I'm going to go buy myself a nice lunch and celebrate.
Take your kids.
Well, Jerry, I can throw out one more topic.
Go to Rarotonga. Yeah, take your kids to Rarotonga.
I just may. What did you say, Mike?
I said if I can throw out just one more topic, Jerry, since we both seem to share a love of boating, you should make your way east, because not only can I take you out on the boat, but I bought two new Wave Runners last weekend.
Ooh.
I saw that, Mike. They looked gorgeous.
Wait, you bought Wave Runners?
I bought two new ones. Yeah, I bought two new Wave Runners, yeah.
Those are so fun. That's my favorite thing to do in the world. It's a blast.
And if we want to talk about vacations, I was in Miami last week, and it was absolutely gorgeous.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
Sound like you were having a great time, too.
You guys are getting me excited. You are getting me excited because my husband and I are going on a 9-day cruise in like 3 weeks, and I can't wait.
Good for you.
Yes.
Well, I have never taken 2 weeks off before ever in life.
Yeah.
Mike, where?
Yeah, where's it go?
We're leaving out of Brooklyn, and we're going to Puerto Rico, and then Bermuda, and then St. Thomas, and then Turks and Caicos, and we have 4 days at sea. So it's a total of 9 days, and it's our three-year anniversary.
Awesome. I never feel like I can take enough time away to do something like that, so I take like 6 trips to Miami a year, but I work while I'm there, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm unemployed.
The name of the campground that we go to in Michigan is called Aloha.
The name of it is Aloha.
So,
well, that's right there with you. Mike,
hey, speaking
I
of vacations, when are we having this event at Jerry's place?
Anytime, man.
I thought you were planning an event mid.
I'm working on it. You want to know what I've been doing? Actual work, and it's really cramped my style. I've been so busy, I can't even. I'm working from like 5:30 a.m. to like 10 at night.
Well, no.
I'm drinking heavily. I've been drinking all day.
So here I am willing to drive to Indiana,
water,
a place
coffee,
I'd never
Mountain
go,
Dew.
And you haven't even planned it yet.
That's correct, Mike. I have failed in my own initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that we've nailed that down. What's that, Maureen?
Were you in the military?
Am I in the military?
Were you in the military? You sort of sound like it.
No, sir.
No. Have you seen his hair? Can you imagine
hair?
Jerry
that's
with
what
a flat top?
I cannot imagine Jerry would have ever had a flat top.
He doesn't sound like it.
I'm going to go with the crew cut this summer, I think.
You are not. You're so full of it.
Long, curly hair is a lot of work, ladies.
We know. We probably have hair.
Okay, the conversation is kind of plateaued here.
Actually, it's actually good right now.
Yeah, this is better than the show.
Well, that's not hard. Not hard
Wait,
at all.
Wait, is Animal laughing? He's not laughing at that one.
Oh, no.
No, he's probably making some kind of eggplant sandwich or something. Oh, well, it's, you know, been nothing short of a treat to be on the show today.
It was actually fun. I mean, it's relaxing now. Now you guys made me want to go on vacation, which I have not done probably.
Oh, go yet. On vacation. That's what
go
I'm going to
tell vacation.
Mike.
Yeah, just
so
go.
So worth taking time completely off, Mike. You need to do it.
Mike,
I've never done
it
before. I even visited clients on my honeymoon.
You tell me when you're
ready,
and I'll get us a place, honey.
Gotta go. Go do it. Take this offline.
Quick question, though, Rayanne. You were away from the internet and everything for a couple of weeks. Do you have a before and after clout score result? Like,
you know,
how did that affect your clout?
I don't give a bleep about clout, so I don't.
Oh, you better.
I don't care. I don't care.
You better.
I don't care. So.
Okay.
I do my job. That's what I do. And I love social media for how it keeps me.
What about your Empire Avenue stock ticker value?
Yeah,
that's what I'm worried about.
Go down at all.
I don't care.
I don't even care.
I don't play Farmville. I don't do.
Oh, Farmville is not what we're talking about here, sister.
Empire
we're talking
Rock.
Real world stuff that measures your ability to get stuff done.
Well, you know, I use my
directly.
Paycheck to measure that. So.
That's awesome. Huh. Go, Rayanne.
Well, I'm going to go check the mailbox and see if anybody just looked my name up on the internet and sent me some money. There's always that chance. Always that chance.
Isn't that always the exciting part about opening your mailbox? There's always a chance there could be a check instead of a bill.
For no reason.
Always.
Sometimes I'll just, like, sneak it open real slow. Okay, everybody, I got to get back to work. Thanks for calling
everyone.
In.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I'll send you the info, Kathy. Bye.